Well, let's all stand together for the reading of God's holy word and turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. All right, look there at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
This morning I'm going to preach what for me is probably an unusual sermon, but on this 15th anniversary of our church's beginning, my heart is just full of gratitude to the Lord and to the people that God has brought into my life and my family's life. I remember when we celebrated our third anniversary in 2003, and those first 3 years were so hard that Mrs. Rasburn and I felt like we just hit a huge milestone. I remember we bought rings. I don't think we have either one of them anymore, but we bought, she has hers, mine didn't, I don't know what happened to mine, but to hit 3 years just seemed like such a milestone for us because so many churches would fold within the first couple of years. And now we've done that four more times. And I'm just so thankful for God's blessings. I'm thankful for my wife and I'm thankful for my church. I just want to say this morning that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love His church. And some think that you can't do both. Some will say, I only love Jesus. I'm only loyal to Jesus and I don't love a church. But you know, I find that there's actually enough room in our hearts to love Jesus and love His church too. And I find in our text this morning that Jesus loves the church. He loves the church like a perfect husband would love his wife. And that the husband is to imitate Christ in loving his wife as Christ loves the church. The fact is that the reason I love the church this morning is because I love Jesus Christ. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't go to church. I wasn't saved till I was 15 years old, and I had no use for church. I had no respect for church. I thought Christians were crazy. And then it turns out they are, but it's okay, and it's a good kind of crazy. And by the way, you don't have to be crazy to go to our church. It just helps. But I thought Christians were crazy. I thought they were losers. Turns out I was the loser. And when I got saved and fell in love with Jesus Christ and got in church, and I fell in love with His church. I've been a member of three churches. I thank God for all three. Southside Baptist Church in Weatherford is the church I got saved at. It's where I met my wife at. And those country folks, it was a country church back then, but before Weatherford turned into the suburb that it is today. And that's 20-something years ago. And they accepted me and loved me. And I had made some good friends in the youth group and had a youth pastor that cared about me and a pastor that cared about us. And my family got saved and my parents got in church and still attend that church to this day. And I thank God for that first church in my life. I thank God for Trinity Baptist Church, the great, if a church like ours is a mule and a plow, their church is one of these huge harvester combines. You know, this great, massive metropolitan church. And we were just thankful to be part of one of the cogs in the machinery of that church. And a great soul-winning church. And we loved our time at Trinity Baptist Church, but no church means as much to me as Lighthouse Baptist Church. Before I move on, I want to emphasize the fact that Jesus loves you. He loves the church and He loves you. If you're not saved, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and wants to save you. He wants to save your soul so you can go to heaven when you die and not hell. And if you are saved, Jesus loves you. And if you're a little bit away from the Lord or out of church, God still loves you and He wants you to come back. And come back into fellowship with Him and back into functional service in His church. So this morning, I said this would be an unusual sermon because I want to preach on why I love Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I tell you something this morning. You know, if that's wrong, I think the Lord will forgive me for loving His church. He says he loves his church. And I think you should love your church. I only got two amens on that, but hopefully I'll persuade you by the end of the sermon. You ought to love your church. And this is part of your life. It's part of your family. It's part of your existence. And God put you in a church. And, you know, you don't have to love your orthodontist. You don't have to love your bank. You know, I can switch banks if I get a better deal. But I tell you something, the church is something special in my life. I don't have to love the barber shop, but I ought to love my church. I'm part of that church, and it's part of Christ. And Jesus didn't die for the business down the road. And he didn't die for the bank. And he didn't die for the dentist office. And he didn't die for your workplace, but he did die for Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I think we ought to love our church. We ought to be proud of our church. I think we ought to brag on our church. I think you ought to tell your friends about your church. By the way, when was the last time you invited someone to come visit your church? Churches that are growing are churches where people are excited about their church. They're excited about God. They're excited about their Sunday school, and they're excited about the people they go to church with, and they talk about it. They brag about it. They invite folks to it. And I think we ought to love the church that Jesus loves. Let me tell you some things this morning as a pastor. Number one, I'm thankful that Lighthouse Baptist Church is a loving church. I believe that our church loves Jesus Christ. You know, our church has never had a big entertainment package. You know, one thing I preached about Junior, and I bragged about him when I preached at his college recently over in Mesquite, that Junior got into our youth church when he was 8 years old. If you come tonight, I got a video montage of old pictures, and you'll see Junior when he was like 7 years old. I have to label him so you'll know who he is. And Junior went through our Sunday school and into our youth group. And there were times when our youth group would have 25 and 30 kids. And there were times when our youth group had 5 or 6. And Junior kept coming to church because he wasn't coming for an entertainment package for teenagers. He was coming because he loved God. Our church, you know, when we first got started, our music program was me pretending to be a song leader. And old brother Corey, who at that time was 80 years old and now he's in heaven, 80 years old, and he'd stand back here and he'd strum along on his guitar, and I'd try to lead the singing, and we had no piano player and no organ player or any extra music or hardly any special music. And people were not coming because they were being entertained. They were coming because they fell in love with Jesus Christ. And they heard some pretty lousy sermons back then, but it didn't matter because they just loved Christ and they loved the Word of God. Now, so I thank God that I have the privilege of pastoring a church that I believe loves Jesus Christ. And I believe some of the best Christians I've ever known are sitting in these pews this morning because I can see the love you have for Jesus Christ. By the way, shouldn't a church love Jesus Christ? Shouldn't a church, I mean, have a fervent, genuine, sincere love for Christ? You know what Jesus told the Ephesus church? He said, "You have left your first love." Oh, how dangerous it is for a church to be meeting and assembling together, but having left that passionate first love for Jesus Christ. Hey folks, listen, no matter what else we do on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, it's all about Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for our sins. He's the one that rose from the dead. He's the one that saved me by His wonderful grace. He's the one that's coming back for us one day. And He is our message, and He is our hope, and He is our reason for being here this morning. That's the difference between us being a social club of like-minded people getting together because we have a common interest, and born-again Christians getting together because we have the same exalted Savior. We ought to love Jesus Christ. The church ought to be centered around Jesus Christ. But then I love our church because not only do we love Jesus, or maybe because we love Jesus, this is a church that loves each other. We aren't we're not a big church. I know that surprises you looking around. But our church has big hearts. And it's a church that loves people. We don't care where you're from. We don't care where you work. We don't care how much money you have or don't have. We don't even care what color your skin is. We just love people. By the way, I had missionaries in a while back, and the husband was white and the wife was black. She was from what, Guyana? I think it was Guyana. And they told me at dinner time, they said, "You're the first church we've been to in Texas that had other people of color." I said, "Do you think we should put it on our website?" I don't know. I said, to be honest, we don't even think about it. We just go out and knock doors and invite folks to church, and we preach the Word of God, and we don't care what where you're from, we don't care what your skin color is, we don't care what kind of money you have or don't have, we don't care what kind of clothes you wore this morning, we don't care what kind of car you drove in, we don't care about any of those things. We simply care about people, and we want to be a blessing to you, and we want to point you to Christ if you're not saved, or help you grow as a Christian if you are saved. And I thank God for a church that loves Jesus and loves each other. Jesus said in John 13, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." And then he said again, just because we're so dense and have to have this repeated to us over and over again, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you." And then he said, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Loving each other is a fundamental of the Christian faith. And not just the people you like. Jesus said the publicans and Pharisees do that. Even love your enemies, that's hard. To love those who aren't like you, who might irritate you. That's where you're stepping into real Christianity. You see, a church ought to be a loving church. And that means, folks, you ought to get to know people in your church. You ought to get to hang around sometimes after church. You know, we're having a fellowship after tonight with some cake. Instead of leaving because something's on television, why don't you use that DVR thing and hang around for half an hour and get to know somebody at church. And spend some time together. Well, no one here is my age. When we joined Trinity Baptist Church, no one was our age either. It didn't matter. We're Christians. And by the way, just hang around Brother Parks. Brother Parks is more fun than any 20 or 30-year-old you'll ever meet anyway. Just hang around him if you want to have a good time. Now I'm saying that a church ought to be a loving church, and it ought to care about each other, and we ought to be concerned about practicing real charity inside of the church house. And so I'm thankful that Lighthouse Baptist Church is a loving church. And then secondly, I'm thankful that our church is a laboring church. You know, Jesus said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." The church needs to be a workforce. Jesus didn't save us to sit and sour. He saved us to go out and serve. He said in 2 Corinthians 6:1, "We then as workers together with Him." You see, He wants to work with us, but He's not going to work without us. He wants us to be workers together with Him. Now, we at our church believe in the priesthood of the believer. That's why my collar's not on backwards and I'm wearing a tie. We don't have a clergy. We have the priesthood of the believers, where every born-again person is a priest unto God. But that means we're supposed to serve the Lord and not just wait to be served. I'm thankful, for example, that for 14 and a half years, almost every single Sunday, with the exception of a couple of ice days, at least one bus has left the parking lot of our church to go bring people to church. Bus ministry is hard work, but our buses keep running. Whether it's a full-size bus or two full-size buses or a van and a shuttle and a bus, we simply want to go out and bring people into church and to see them saved. There's always room for more laborers in the church. There's always a need for more help. Hey, I noticed there's some room now. We can put a couple more folks in the choir. So I'm not a great singer. Trust me, I sit there. Some of them aren't great singers either. We just need some fillers, amen? Now, if you can sing, listen, use it or lose it. If God gives you a talent and you won't use it, sooner or later you're going to lose it. And so, hey, the choir practice takes like 10 minutes Sunday night. The choir only sings one time a week. They sing a special every few weeks or so. But they add a lot to our morning service. And it doesn't take a lot to be part of the choir, but it does take some commitment. There's room in the choir for you. We could always use help with ushers and visitors and clean-uppers and helpers and bus drivers and people that can help in different capacities. There's always something to do for the Lord, but we have to have the attitude that, hey, I'm willing to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1, here's a verse that we ought to consider. "Remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love." Let me ask those who are serving in the ministry of our church, is your ministry to you a labor of love? Something that you love, or is it something you're enduring week after week? Now, there's times to endure. Sometimes I endure being married. I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. I enjoy being married. I'm about to endure something this afternoon, I'll tell you that. But I endure being a parent sometimes when I'd want to, and I don't. And there's times at church, you do it long enough, there's some Sundays you just drag yourself in and do your job. And you don't feel well, and you're not super excited about it, and it's not a thrill. And you just come in and you do your job. And whether there's little firecrackers going off or not, you do it for the Lord. I'll tell you something, there ought to be a love for what we're doing. A love for the kids, a love for our ministry, a love, I tell you, when you love the Lord and you love what you're doing, it'll change everything that you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's a verse for those who've been serving the Lord for a long time. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name. Listen, if you serve for the appreciation of people, you'll get a little and you'll be forgotten a lot. It's just how it is. People are selfish and ungrateful. I thank God for it. You know, it's nice to get some of these nice cards. I appreciate the kids doing this. I told the Lord, you get the glory, I get the cards. Amen. I appreciate these little cards, and that's a blessing. If you serve the Lord long enough, you realize that, folks, a lot of people are very selfish, self-interested, self-centered, a lot of self. And you have to do it for Him. Realizing that He will not forget any work or labor of love that you do for Him. So I'm thankful that I have a church that's not afraid to get its hands dirty. We're a laboring church. And then thirdly, I want to say that Lighthouse is a long-suffering church. This is a church where people are generally very patient with each other and with their pastor. I want to say that I'm very thankful for those who stuck with our church over the years. You know, I was 25 years old when we started this church. What were you doing when you were 25? Trying to be a pastor. You know what? I made a lot of dumb mistakes. But I was trying to do the right things. And I appreciate people like the Camps and the Briquettes and the Darts and those who've been with us for so long that were willing to put up with some dumb mistakes and some dumb young preacher stuff and to be patient and long-suffering with us. And I think that a church ought to have long-suffering with each other. The Bible says charity suffereth long and is kind. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. And when there's a lack of long-suffering, there's discord and strife and resentment and harsh judgments. And so, long-suffering. And then fourthly, I love our church because it has a dedicated leadership. A dedicated leadership. The Bible says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. And as the pastor of the church, I've always tried to be careful who we put into leadership in the church. Faithful people. Not hit and miss. Not unstable people, not people you can't count on. People that are faithful attenders to church, not the ones who miss all the time. People who are faithful tithers and givers, not those who cheat God every time things get hard or are inconsistent in their giving. Faithful servants, people who are faithful to be involved, people who are invested in their church. And I thank God for those who have stepped up into leadership. And for Sunday after Sunday, year after year, they have taught Sunday school classes and ushered and been trustees and led in our music programs and in our bus ministries. And after for years, they've invested themselves into their church and have become really pillars in the church. Then I want to say that I love Lighthouse because it's a liberal church. A liberal church. I don't mean liberal doctrinally. We're fundamental Baptists. Emphasis on the fun and the mental. Some of you emphasize the duh. We're not liberal doctrinally. We're not liberal in our morals. We're not liberal in our politics. We're not liberal in our practices. We're not liberal in our positions. I'm definitely a conservative, but when it comes to giving, we're liberal. The Bible says the liberal soul should be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Liberal means free to give, generous, giving largely of a free heart. Our church has always been, for example, our church, the very first Sunday we started, took on 6 missionaries. just for my wife and I's offerings. And I advised our recent church plant to do things a little differently, but we still said you ought to, as soon as possible, ought to take on a missionary. We've always given to missions. You realize in our church, and I don't keep track of numbers because I don't want to pretend like we're throwing out baseball statistics all the time. But I know that our church over the years has given hundreds of thousands of dollars to world missions. That would have paid off the buildings a couple of times over and built a new building. But you know what? God put us here to reach the world and not just to please ourselves. And our church has given to missions for years and years and years. Someone came to our church one time and we used to have all our missionary pictures on the wall, ran out of wall space. And they looked at the size of our church and they looked at the number of the missionaries we support and said, wow, your church really hits above its weight. It's a boxing term, like a little guy that knocks out the big guy. And I just said, I don't know. I think there was a time when for each family we had in church, we had one missionary family on the field. And I just thank God that we have a church that is liberal in its giving and generous, not only towards missions, but towards bus ministry and sending kids to camp and prison ministry and starting churches. There have been churches all over the Metroplex that our church has helped get started and reestablished or established. Churches in other states that we've helped get started. And then what's a lot of fun sometimes is people giving to each other inside the church when they have a time of need. And I thank God I don't have a church that's all stingy. And I think that I believe that God blesses giving and God blesses a generous heart. And I believe if we'll give individually, God will bless us. And if our church will give corporately, God will bless us. God didn't put us here to hoard our resources. God put us here to scatter it abroad and to see people saved. Number six, I love our church because it's a church with an emphasis on lordship. An emphasis on lordship. Jesus said in Luke 6, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Our church takes a serious stand on the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Lord whether you recognize it or not. One day you're going to have to answer to Him. You can laugh at Him now all you want to, but one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It'll be a lot easier if you do it now. Because He is Lord of all whether you acknowledge it or not. Doesn't change a thing. But I acknowledge it when I got saved. But we believe that Christians ought not just own Jesus as their Lord in name, but also in their deed. And so in our church we emphasize commitment, consecration, discipleship, spirituality, faithfulness, sanctification. And the preaching from this pulpit is not intended to keep things on a lukewarm heat. You know, that's what a lot of preaching is putting it on simmer and leaving it there. We like to jack it up to 8 or 9 sometimes. Because Christians need to be on fire for God. Christians need to be dedicated themselves to the Lord. And sometimes we start out pretty good and we need a kick in the pants later on down the road because we settle down. And our church is always going to emphasize obedience to the Lord and giving your lives to Christ and having an obedient life and a radical faith and righteousness and decency and sobriety and honesty and good godly morality and faithfulness and fervency. Why? Because we emphasize the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, not everyone does that, but I tell you, I think that there's a lot of folks who do. And I thank God for that. I had a lady actually one time visit our church, and I followed up on her and was talking to her about joining the church, and she said, "Well, I just can't do that." She said, "Your church is just so committed and so dedicated. I just can't live up to that." You know what I told her? I said, "You don't know them as well as I do." I said, "No." I said, "Our church is very committed, but just get in and begin to grow and grow where you're from." But she had some kind of hang up on that. But I thank God for a church that I believe recognizes the lordship of Jesus Christ and desires to honor Him in their lives. And one last thought, as your favorite point in all my sermons. Lighthouse Baptist Church is a church that longs for people to be saved. We long for people to be saved. The Bible says in Revelation 22:17, this is the last invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You see, the Bible teaches that we're all sinners. We've all sinned against the Holy God. We've committed sins of the mind, of the deed. We've said things we shouldn't say. We've done things we shouldn't have done. We've broken God's laws. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. Now you can laugh about it now, but if you die without Christ, you're going to burn in hell forever. I tell you that as your friend, because I don't want you to go to hell. You say you're trying to get me to join the church. You can't even join the church till you get saved. You've got to get saved. We want folks to get saved. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We want people to be saved. We want people to know for sure that heaven's their home. We don't want you to go to hell when you die. We want you to go to heaven. And listen, salvation's free. It's forever. And it's for you. But you've got to exercise your own personal faith in Christ. You've got to repent toward God, put your faith in Christ. And God's willing to save you right where you are today. I'm glad that we have a church where many thousands of people have been saved. Hundreds have been baptized because we're always opening the invitation. If you want to get saved, this is one of the easiest places you'll ever go to get saved at. Everyone in this room wants you to get saved if you're not saved. We don't even mind being late for dinner if you get saved.